Let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6, I'd like us to read together verses 1 through 5. Romans 6, 1 through 5. And this is what the words of Almighty God have to say. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism to death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We've been studying the six typical men of the book of Romans. So far, we've looked at the guilty man, as found in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. And we've looked at the justified man, found in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 to 26. Now in our passage we just read, we're going to see that a man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ. He is also identified with Christ. So we're going to look at the third typical man is found in the book of Romans, and that's the identified man. Now, in verse number 1 of Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul continues from chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 20, we read, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." So, Paul tells us here in chapter 5 of Romans, verse 20, it tells us that God's grace overcomes sin. Now look at verse 21 of Romans 5. "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So verse 21 here tells us, before a person was saved, sin ruled over them, and this eventually led to death. As Romans chapter 6 verse 23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." However, now that a person is saved, grace reigns through righteousness. What's that mean? The person is no longer facing eternal death, but eternal life through Jesus Christ. With this as the context, Paul in Romans chapter 6 verse 1 asks the question, because grace abounds, in other words, more of it than sin, shall we continue in sin, knowing that grace will cover the sin? And in verse 2 of Romans chapter 6, Paul answers the question. He says, "God forbid." He said, how can a person who is saved, which means he is dead to sin, continue in sin and live in sin? You see, grace should not give the Christian a license to sin. Amen and amen. Now, in verse 3 of Romans chapter 6, we read, "Knowing ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So, verse 3 shows why a Christian should not continue in sin, because he's baptized into Jesus Christ. And it's not talking here about water baptism. Water baptism. No, it's talking about spiritual baptism. A lot of the false religions and teachings read water into this passage here or this verse, but it's talking about spiritual baptism. You see, the moment an individual trusts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God baptizes you into Christ. That individual is baptized into Christ. Let's turn, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And once you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's look at verse number 13 together and see what the Word of God says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, the words of God say this: "For by one Spirit," and of course, this word Spirit is capitalized with a capital S, meaning Holy Spirit, "by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks," "whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So we see then, no matter who the individual is, their race, amen, no matter who they are, when they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, the Holy Spirit of God baptizes them into the body of Christ. Amen. So that's what verse 3 here in Romans chapter 6 is talking about. See? Now, verse 3 in Romans chapter 6 tells us because we're baptized in Jesus Christ, we are also baptized into his death. Look at that verse again. "Knowing you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ," and we read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "because that's taken place, were baptized into his death." So we see, we're talking about the identified man. So we see the identification, amen, we are identified spiritually with Christ. How? Number one, in his death. You see, all our sins were nailed at the cross. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Now, verse number four of our text in Romans chapter 6, let's look at it. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life." So, number two, we are identified with Christ in his burial. See, when you get saved, when you got saved, God declared your flesh judicially dead. So that means that sin should no longer reign in our bodies. See, because of that, because of what happened, on that cross at Calvary. God has declared you and I, our sinful flesh, judicially dead. So then why do we sin? Why do we continue to sin? The reason for that is, when you and I get up each day, we have, God has given us free will. Amen. So you have to decide, are you going to become under the influence and power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God? Or are you going to come under the influence and direction of your sinful flesh? You see, that flesh did not get saved. That flesh, this body, old man that we live in, is still wicked. Desperately wicked. Amen. Full of sin. But now that you're saved and born again, you have the power of Almighty God to not let sin no longer reign in your body. See? Then we read here in verse 4, we continue, after the word death, there's a colon, and we pick up, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, see, by the glory of the Father. So, the believer not only identifies with Christ in his death and burial, but also in his resurrection. You see, when the believer was saved, his spirit, his dead spirit, was quickened or made alive by the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians for a moment. I want us to turn to Ephesians together in chapter number 2, in verse number 1. Notice what the Word of God has to say. And you, Paul is speaking to believers at the church of Ephesus, those who were born again. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who, referring back to those at Ephesus who were born again, and all of those of us who were born again, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That was the condition that Almighty God found us, we were in, dead in trespasses and sin. But now our spirit has been quickened, made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. Notice in verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2 what it says. As a result of that, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now physically you're on earth, but spiritually, amen, you're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what's going to happen someday is all the rest of us, body, soul, and spirit, will be seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's the day we're awaiting. Now, notice also what it says in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1. Again, we're seeing now that we're not only identified as we're looking at the third man, typical man found in the book of Romans, the identified man. We not only identify with Christ in his death and his burial, but in his resurrection. So here Paul, in his epistle to the Colossians, says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, notice what he says if the word if condition, if you then be risen with Christ. Now we've just seen in what we've read that if you're born again, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you indeed spiritually have been risen with Christ. That's the condition. And Paul is saying, if that has happened, if you then be risen with Christ, you identify with him in his Christ's resurrection, he said, this is the result. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So, that's where our seeking should be. We're identified with Christ in his resurrection. Evidence of that is we should seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, on the right hand of God. Amen? Now, we go back to Romans chapter number 6. And I want us to look in verse number 4 with me. Notice what it says. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now here's what I want us to see. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. Look with me, if you would, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Now notice what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and how do you get in Christ? By believing that he died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If that's what you're trusting in, for your sins to be forgiven, to secure your home in heaven, then you're in Christ. As a result, notice, that individual, you as a believer, me as a believer, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. So because we identify with Christ in his resurrection spiritually, then we should walk in newness of life. We are a new creature in Christ. Those old things that we did before we were born again, amen, before we were resurrected with Christ, should be done away with, should pass away. We should walk in newness of life. We should have a new life in Christ. So, because we identify with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, we should not walk as we did before, when we were unsaved. Ephesians chapter 2 identifies how we used to walk before we were saved. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verses 2 and 3 with me. The Word of God says this. Wherein time past, Paul is saying to the believers at Ephesus, this is how you were in the past, before you were saved. Where in time past you walked. Here's a description of the unsaved's walk. According to the course of this world. You know, we think of a course, a route that we follow, that directs us. We followed the direction of the world. Whatever the world went, we went. Wherever it led, we followed. Now, it gets even more dicey here. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's who the director, the leader of this course. Here is a teacher. Think of it this way. You take a course in school. Who is the teacher of that course? Who is the director? The prince of the power of the air. None other than the devil. He's the one that was calling the shots before you were saved. And this is the kind of spirit you had. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the spirit you had before you were saved, before you were born again. It was disobedient to God because you were the devil's child. Verse 3 in Ephesians 2, among whom also we had our conversation in time past. And it describes what our conversation was and how we conversed and how we conducted our affairs. In the times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's all we did when we were unsaved. One thing and one thing only, fulfilling the desires of the lust of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature, this is your nature, the children of wrath, even as others. So this is how we walked. This was our walk when we were unsaved, before we were born again. But now, because we identify in the resurrection of Christ spiritually, we're to walk in a newness of life. Well, what does that mean exactly? Well, sin should no longer have its reign over your body. You see, your soul is no longer stuck to your flesh. When you got saved, there was a spiritual circumcision that took place. You know, all through the Old Testament, you see the soul and the body and the flesh are interchanged and spoken as one and the same. So, what happened under the New Testament when you get saved, that soul was stuck to the flesh. The soul is the heart, the mind. Amen. And it came under the direct influence of the sinful flesh. But now that you're saved, that sinful flesh is cut away from the soul. So the soul no longer is under the complete control, but now has a choice. Before it didn't have a choice, but now it's a choice that you're saved and born again, you can live for God. You can be directed by the indwelling Holy Spirit. We see in Colossians chapter 2 what exactly took place spiritually in us when we became born again and saved. Beginning in verse number 11, we read in 2 Colossians chapter 2, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So, who was the doctor? It wasn't any human doctor. It was Jesus Christ that performed that operation with the Word of God. What happened? In putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, the sinful flesh was cut away. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. There's that resurrection we're identified in Christ. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, forgiven you all trespasses. Amen and amen. The sinful flesh has been cut away from the soul. Your sins have been forgiven. Your spirit has been quickened and made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. So, therefore we should walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We should see less and less of the old man, the sinful flesh, in our life, and more of the new man. John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, verse 30, that he, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, must increase, but I, John the Baptist, must decrease. This is what we're talking about. You're born again, you're saved. People should see more and more of Christ in you and less of your old man. Amen. Looking in Second Corinthians with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 16, we read this. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the sinful flesh, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is what should be taking place in you each day. Amen. And then in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3 in verse number 10, the Word of God says this, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man. The old man should be put off, the new man should be put on. If you've been truly born again. And that is evidenced by your new walk in Christ. Walking in newness of life because you identify with his resurrection. Amen. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, with me, Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 24, we read, in that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That new man is a total opposite of your old man. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. There was nothing righteous or holy about that unsaved flesh. Amen. But now, if you're walking in newness of life with Jesus Christ, you're to put on the new man, the new you. Because we identify with Christ, being baptized in Christ, baptized into his death, buried with him by baptism, amen, then we should be dead to sin. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Peter, chapter number 2, verse 24. The Word of God says this, referring to Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Why did he do that? That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You now can live unto righteousness because he bore our sins in his body on that cruel cross at Tree of Calvary. Amen. You see, our flesh should be crucified. Look in Galatians chapter 2. In verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. There we are, crucified. We identify with his death. Nevertheless, I live. There's a resurrection, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Again, Christ liveth in you. You're resurrected with Christ. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You have a new life, a new walk, a new you. And you walk, your walk is by faith. Amen. Of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Our life should be hid in Christ. Our old life, our old man is supposed to be dead. Amen. And that's what others should see. So the Christian is identified with Christ spiritually in his death, burial, and resurrection because as Christ died, our flesh, the old man, also died that we should live the resurrected life and no longer in bondage to sin.